Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News.
With Lennox broke ground on a new lithium-ion battery manufacturing facility in DeSoto, Kansas. That's a suburb of Kansas City. The facility is set to focus on the manufacture of lithium-ion cylindrical cells. Panasonic is planning to mass-produce the battery cells by March of 2025. In the World Series last night, four Houston Astros pitchers combined for the first World Series no-hitter since 1956 in a 5-0 win over Philadelphia. The series is now tied at 2 games apiece. Game 5 is tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern. The Federal Reserve lifted interest rates by another 0.75 percentage point to push back on inflation. The increase approved Wednesday, the Fed's fourth consecutive 0.75 point rate rise, lifts the central bank's benchmark federal funds to a range between 3.75 and 4%. As more businesses drop the brick-and-mortar locations for a virtual environment online, the banking industry is an example of pass the savings to the customers. SoFi's CEO Anthony Noto on Fox Business this week says they're offering much higher interest rates on your checking and savings accounts.
So in the checking and savings account, we're offering 2.5% interest on checking. We just announced we're going to 3% on savings later this week, and that's helping us grow our member base there.
The U.S. Geological Survey is reporting a minimal 3.0 magnitude earthquake struck overnight on the border between Arizona and New Mexico. The quake happened just before 11 p.m. local time, roughly 6 miles southwest of Franklin, Arizona. And a reminder, those states that participate in daylight savings time, it ends this weekend. USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils. But what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
The hunt for a man accused of shooting two Newark police officers has come to an end. Tony Maruso reports.
An urgent manhunt in New Jersey is over. A whole neighborhood had been forced to remain inside their homes for hours after two Newark police officers were shot Tuesday. Authorities had also blocked off nearby streets to search for the suspect. Acting Essex County Prosecutor Ted Stevens announced an arrest Wednesday.
Today, at approximately 11:10 a.m., members of the Newark Police Department Emergency Response Team effected an arrest of one Kendall Howard. Mr. Howard has been charged with 2 counts of attempted murder of Newark police officers.
The officers were shot just as 30-year-old Kendall Howard was shot in connection with the shooting last week. From the Gulf Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Tony Maruso.
Lottery players looking to get rich quick were focused Wednesday night as the numbers were drawn for the $1.2 billion Powerball jackpot. Nobody won the jackpot, but some lucky players won $2 million and $1 million prizes. The next jackpot for Saturday's drawing is expected to be $1.5 billion before taxes. Hurricane Lisa made landfall in Central America late Wednesday afternoon with flash flooding and wind damage across several countries. After it made landfall along the Belize coastline as a Category 1 hurricane, Lisa is forecast to head inland and not become any stronger. Lance Pry, USA Radio News.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing, to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-781-0987. 800-781-0987. That's 800-781-0987.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you with us. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, BillMartinezShow.com. That's where you want to go. We're going to be talking about big tech and big government, how they come together. The Intercept broke news that government agencies are working closely with social media companies like Facebook and Twitter to censor freedom of speech. Here to tell us more about it is Americans for Prosperity policy expert James Chernowski. James, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Wow, what a big headline here. I mean, we've had glimpses that this is what was going on, but as a result of leaked documents, it gives us an outline that DHS, they've got a plan to police disinformation here, right?
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. I mean, we, like you mentioned at the outset, like it was something that we kind of expected was happening a little bit, but to the degree of which that it was occurring, I think was something that took people by surprise. Unfortunately, DHS, especially during the pandemic, was more than happy to reach out to social media companies and flag information for them that they wanted to correct the narrative on, if you will. Under the guise of misinformation. And the problem with that is that misinformation is protected speech underneath the First Amendment. And, the other part of this problem is that what we knew at the outset of the pandemic versus 1 year later were two different things. So, for example, like lab leak theory stuff that was put out during the beginning of the pandemic that was removed from various outlets, not so crazy now, looking a couple of years later.
Kind of amazing, huh, James, how that's gone full circle. Here it is. We were all called conspiratists and everything else because, I've often said in this show that in the absence of fact, opinion rules, and we were trying to, circle the problem to figure out what the heck, where did it come from? Because we weren't getting any answers from people that should have known, like Dr. Fauci. I mean, he had a team of people that were there. They invested in that lab in Wuhan, and we knew almost from the get-go there was just something spurious, there was just, it was really, you talk about the art of misinformation, we were being worked.
Yeah, I think that the problem was, especially like when you look at it, is that with everybody being locked down during COVID, it forced a lot of people online, which meant that like what would normally be, water station conversation, let's say at the office, was all just taking place on Twitter, right? That already happened on a daily basis, but then it just gets exacerbated because you have, hundreds of millions of people around the globe just locked down. And again, it creates a very weird situation because while these companies have the right to go and, curate the content that's on their platform as they see fit because they too have First Amendment rights, it's one thing during a public health emergency for the government to want to make sure that Americans are connected with good authoritative information on what's out there. It's an entirely separate thing to go and, flag to Meta. Let's say, for example, hey, there's this Fauci parody account. Is there something that can be done about this? But, disclaimer, we're not telling you what you can or can't do, but don't mind the fact that we have this cudgel over here to threaten you with antitrust lawsuits or threaten you with regulatory scrutiny or other kinds of things that are certainly very real threats to these companies. So, I think that it puts those companies in a very precarious situation.
James, my sense is, based on other conversations and emails between the government and, you know, Facebook and Zuckerberg, for example, I don't think there was much of a threat, because the people, you know, that run these operations, I mean, you already had the president of Google. He was, you know, on a video expression, almost in tears after Donald Trump got elected, for example, and said this will never happen again. You know, that this was the worst thing that could ever happen. And as far as Google was concerned, they were going to do everything they could to interfere. And there's no doubt that they did this. And we also know that Zuckerberg was, you know, contacted by the FBI, wink, wink. And let's not, you know, let's be ready for some Russian disinformation. So if you hear something about a Hunter laptop thing, you got to know that that's Russian disinformation. So you're going to have to, you know, I'm sure you'll make the right decision to, you know, squash that as much as you can, right?
Well, again, like I said, regardless of perhaps what the makeup of those companies are in terms of their employee base, it doesn't change the fact that at the end of the day, if they were not to comply with the request, they would go and put a serious threat to their businesses, because the government does have that ability to, you know, bring forth those lawsuits, bring forth regulatory scrutiny, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when Mark Zuckerberg was hauled in front of Congress and a senator from California said, "You must do something or we will." That's a not so subtle threat, right?
Right.
And you, if you're a business, you have to take that seriously. So when the government is coming to you, number one, you're just not going to be rude to them, because that's just not good business either. So, you know, again, there is that looming threat that is back there. What's behind door number two isn't exactly just, you know, something that's out there in the ether. Like, it's a very credible threat, I think. So, you know, when these companies get something from DHS or the FBI, you know, not all of them have the privilege of being able to be Apple, let's say, when the San Bernardino shooting happened, and tell the FBI to pound sand about getting a backdoor access into the Apple software, right?
Right.
Like, not every company gets to do that.
No, I get that. I get the argument here, but let's look at it through the lens of our First Amendment right and free speech. What does this do? Is this limiting our constitutional rights here when government is interacting? I mean, they've been talking, you know, for years now about, you know, figuring what to do with these social media companies. Are they publishers? What exactly is their domain? Because how they're defined will determine how they must be treated and what we can expect from them. But right now, I mean, they're controlling the Wild West of social media, aren't they?
Well, again, I think that becomes a problem when the government does go and reach up to these companies and has some on the scale, is that the argument that's being put forth from this lawsuit from General Schmidt is that, you know, because there's that credible threat of not such a soft jawbone from the government there to pressure these companies, that it does transform them into a state actor. And then when they do that, you know, that goes and means that they have to abide by those First Amendment principles. And the problem is that that's a little murky in terms of whether or not legally that can be proved, unfortunately, because some of that's through soft stuff, that's more on background, more so than anything that's like concrete written down on paper. So, you know, again, I think the bigger thing here that we want to focus on is how do we, like, your way to tackle big tech starts with tackling big government. You've got to go and neuter the power of the administrative state and these unelectable, unaccountable bureaucrats from being able to exert this kind of power and influence over these kinds of companies to begin with. So I think that if you're looking for something to do from a starting point, that's what you want to focus on, and that's where something like this lawsuit from General Schmidt is actually pretty helpful, because it can go and shed light on some of the inappropriate behavior from these officials at DHS and other spots of the government.
Well, you know, we've had for this last decade, we have continued to experience this cancel culture, the power of big tech. I would think, in raw estimates, this is off the top of my head, James, and you may know this better than I do, but I think at least half the country has experienced, you know, one interruption in their social media expression, you know, their sites, and that I think there's a pretty healthy experience of people who have experienced these social media big tech giants, you know, squashing, you know, their businesses. We got to go to a quick break. Let's pick it up from there. We've got more from James after this. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-254-1421. 800-254-1421. 800-254-1421. That's 800-254-1421.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Minutes after the top of the hour. Welcome back. James Chernowski is with us, Senior Policy Analyst in Technology and Innovation at Americas for Prosperity. James, as we were wrapping things up in the first segment here, you know, we're looking at, you know, I don't know what the number would be, but I think it's a pretty healthy number of Americans whose Enterprise on Facebook or Twitter or any other of these social media platforms that have been canceled and their businesses have been either interrupted or, you know, just taken away.
Yeah, I think that, you know, empirically speaking, that might be a little overbroad in terms of the claim. There's actually a lot of examples of left-leaning content that gets, you know, treated in a similar fashion. Salon Magazine, for example, is by no means a center-right publication, but they have had posts, you know, flagged or taken down on Facebook. And sometimes it's just like, you know, innocuous things that happen where it's like algorithm or whatever. I think the bigger problem, though, that kind of gets to the point of your initial thoughts on the cancel culture is that's a private sector civil society problem where you have people that are becoming increasingly intolerant of you know, dissenting viewpoints. And as that intolerance escalates, they're actually using that to wield a cudgel on these companies to do something that could be politically unideal, right? And again, I don't know what the solution is on that front because those groups are exercising their First Amendment rights to pressure these companies. I can't really constrain that, I don't think. So it's still a question that I think that's open and out there for discussion in terms of how we tackle the private sector aspect of cancel culture that's out there. But, you know, it certainly is something that has adverse effects on many Americans.
Exactly. I mean, for me, I look at, you know, what's fair and what is going to advance the culture. And this is why, you know, our First Amendment is so important that we be able to express our ideas. I mean, we put them into the public square and debate the issues. And that's how we fine tune and advance our knowledge and understanding. If we only have people in a silo and we're all saying the same thing, as they say, you know, one of us is redundant and unnecessary. You know, so we need to have that free exchange of thinking and ideas. And I'm not talking, you know, yelling fire in a crowded theater. Right? We've gone through all that, you know, that stuff. I'm just talking about, you know, like how we address COVID, how we're addressing immigration, you know, real issues, real problems. How are we dealing with inflation? How are we dealing with our government? Why can't we have the capability or the ability to be able to question government? I mean, even our founding fathers said and warned us with strong admonishment to, you know, to question authority. That government needed to be constantly questioned. And it appears that one side in particular is especially thin-skinned, and they want to, you know, protect themselves, you know, from a contrarian view.
Yeah. You know, this is why I think there's some light at the end of the tunnel here. As you're probably aware, Elon Musk recently completed purchase for Shakeover Twitter. Mm-hmm. You know, part of the reason that he wanted to do that was because he wanted to encourage that more diverse exchange of ideas. I think that the problem is again, when we're circling back to this point of cancel culture, it's really difficult for companies to really gauge that properly because they're trying to reflect, you know, what they think their user base wants. And conservatives haven't always been great about online advocacy. I would say like a great recent example where they were able to do this was with the PayPal situation, where they had that $2,500 fine that was in their accessible use policy, and they had updated it to include, you know, misinformation as one of the categories. And like, you know, conservative backlash from that was so strong that PayPal reversed course, like literally within 24 hours. I think after that getting published, not even, I think it was actually pretty fast. And I think that like that's something where conservatives have to continue to build up their digital muscles, if you will, so that they can, you know, better engage on that kind of stuff to let these companies know how they feel. But then on the flip side too, which is what the positive is with Elon Musk now officially owning Twitter, is that hopefully there's somebody who can go and lead by example, and you have, you know, under Musk's ownership maybe of Twitter that's more willing to go and put its foot in the ground and try to, you know, establish a good cadence of having that diverse conversation.
Exactly.
Online, which is something I think that we all want to see.
Yeah, we want a fair playing field. I mean, okay, look at this. This is the playing field. Here's the rules. Stay inside the lines. You know, you go outside, we're going to throw a penalty flag. and, you know, monitor this, but not have to, you know, get into the deal where, and I think where some of these companies have gotten into a little bit of a, bucket of gum with some people here and have really kind of surrendered power to them is by not having a clear definition of what the rules of play would be. And what are they about? What are they trying to do here? If they are a propaganda machine, well, then just come in and just say, hey, this is what we're doing. I don't think that initially they intended it to be that way, but it just seems because when things came in, they didn't have an answer that said, okay, here's the answer, and this is why, because it protects our First Amendment right. And Elon Musk is coming back and recapturing that and saying, no, we're going to, this is about freedom of speech, and, most of our lives we've been living with it. We're under some compromise here right now, and that's okay. I mean, I can handle it, because I think that, I think that intelligent people, which is all of us combined, will work this out in such a way to where it's win-win. But you can't allow a minority group or any one person to alter, you know, what your mission is, what your business is about. You know, just like, you know, in the PayPal example, they said, okay, we put it in the marketplace. They found out. They said, whoa, this ain't going to work. And fortunately, they were quick enough to say, all right, okay, we hear you, and do something about it. And I think this is the grand opportunity for these tech giants to be able to be more service oriented and responsive to everyone. Everyone, not just, you know, Democrats, not just progressives. It's everyone, so that we can have a platform to exchange ideas and be all the smarter because we're all involved in the conversation. You're not. I mean, to me, you dumb down the population when you when you're selective about who can talk, who can participate. I don't see that being, you know, beneficial for all concerned.
No, you're absolutely right, and I think that. Again, like when it comes to all this, that, you know, that it's on the right track. It's getting there. Mm-hmm. I think that there was a lot of, you know, well intention behind a lot of these companies when they were starting out. And as they were mm-hmm. developing too, there was just a lot of edge cases that popped up and, you know, lessons learned from those edge cases that made them, change their policies. And then, you know, it just kind of snowballs. But I think like mm-hmm. another great thing that maybe we can see platforms do as we're looking forward is, just today, the White House decided they wanted to own up to that massive bump in Social Security checks that are going out, as if it was something that President Biden did. And then Twitter has the Birdwatch feature, which is basically mm-hmm. a community-based, context-adding mm-hmm. program where, like, you know, tweeters can go and flag this and say, hey, added context. This wasn't something that, you know, President Biden did, but it was something that was tied to just adjustment for inflation that's been in law since the 70s. So it's not really anything that Joe Biden has done, but it's something right. that is a result of our economic conditions, which are not great. Right.
Right.
So I think
exactly.
that more community-based decision-making on some of this, more interaction with the community is something that could actually benefit a lot of these platforms, I think, looking forward.
Yeah, without a doubt. See, this is the community participating, and so then we get clarity on it, and that kind of clips the wings of government, if we might say, misinformation, right?
Absolutely, and like that's what I care about. At the end of the day, I care about making sure that we hold the government accountable for what they do, and like in terms of like what happened with this lawsuit, even looking forward. It's like if we had a public record of every single time the government made a request to these companies in terms of take down this content or whatever, or, you know, flagging content to these platforms. And it was a public record and, you know, people would, see that and be able to see what it was categorized as. Like, I think that would also create a disincentive for those people in those respective agencies.
Without a doubt. James, you're awesome. Thank you so much for the insight and breaking it down for us. James Chernowski, he is a senior policy analyst in technology and innovation at Americans for Prosperity. Thank you, James. Take care.
Thanks for having me.
This is a potter's field. When people can't pay for their funerals, they are buried here. It is a lonely, desolate place, littered with unmarked headstones. No one visits. No one leaves flowers. But it doesn't have to be that way. For as low as $1 a day, you can ensure your family will have the money to pay your funeral expenses. We offer burial insurance plans that pay up to $30,000. Considering the average funeral costs more than $10,000, that's peace of mind for your family. There are no medical exams, your rates won't increase, and your policy cannot be canceled as long as you make your premium payments. Call now to get approved in minutes and ensure your final resting place is more than just a pauper's grave in a potter's field.
800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. 800-562-2407. That's 800-562-2407. Paid for by Final Expense Direct.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The Federal Reserve raised interest rates by another 0.75 percentage point to push back on inflation. The increase approved Wednesday, the Fed's fourth consecutive 0.75 rate increase, lifts the central bank's benchmark federal funds to a range between 3.75 and 4%. As more businesses drop the brick-and-mortar locations for a virtual environment online, the banking industry is an example of passing the savings on to the customers. SoFi's Chief Executive Officer, Anthony Noto, on Fox Business, says this week that they're offering much higher interest rates on your checking and savings accounts.
So in the checking and savings account, we're offering 2.5% interest on checking. We just announced we're going to 3% on savings later this week.
Daylight savings time ends this weekend as we fall back 1 hour early Sunday morning. USA Radio News.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, needs a try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product, has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez with you. Big unions, big government. Joe Biden been very, very good to the big unions and big government. And Mark Mix is here to talk us through it and break it all down. He's the president of the National Right to Work Committee, which is a 2.8 million member policy public policy organization. And he's the president of the National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. Mark, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Bill, good to be on with you, and happy almost Labor Day. Election Day, right?
We got Election Day, and then we'll have Veterans Day next week, and hopefully we will pay a tribute to our veterans by taking control of this country, the country that over a million sacrificed their lives for.
Amen. Wow. They always seem to be important elections, but this one seems to have a little more importance to it given all the things that have happened over the last 2 years with right. The economy and with folks and with the executive branch and the legislative branch. So lots going on for sure.
Well, without a doubt, I mean, it seems like, unlike other times, Mark, there's a clear binary choice. Do you want pain or do you want, and it's not so much pain versus pleasure, if we continue on with the current policies we're doing, we've got serious problems here in River City. The problem with our energy, we were energy dependent 2 years ago. Now we're energy dependent. We're on the verge of two wars, possibly. There's a talk of a potential nuclear Armageddon, and the president says that in such a casual way. It's almost like he said, hey, oh, by the way, Mark, can you pass me that vanilla ice cream? Wait a minute. You just said we're on the verge of a nuclear Armageddon. Armageddon, and it's like nothing. I mean, is this government really serious about being about the people's business and protecting, you know, protecting us, because that's their job one is national security, you know, and then we can talk about the other things, whether we're talking about how we handle our medical care, open borders, the invasion that's happening there, crime, the rise in crime that goes along with the open borders. I mean, this is just absolute madness right now. And Mark, in between time, you've got, you know, everyday workers that just want to go out. They want to work hard. They want to provide for their families, provide a better life, you know, for their children. And as we know, when it comes to work, that's when people are happiest, is when they are working. And I would say the labor force has not been happy since the conclusion of the Donald Trump administration.
Yeah, there is a lot going on there, Bill. And I think your kind of example of it being a binary choice is really relevant. I mean, it seems like, and particularly in the energy industry, I mean, you think about where we were 2.5-3 years ago from a standpoint of being energy independent, being an exporter of energy, having a, you know, what we're supposed to have this balance of trade where exports are supposed to be greater than imports. And we had some of those things happening. And all of a sudden, it's like the switch went off. It did get turned off. And if you're a union member in the energy field, or if you're a union member, you know, in the extractive industries, whether it be coal or whatever, you're wondering what the heck your union officials are doing endorsing a candidate for president that basically puts you on the unemployment line. Think Keystone Pipeline. Think ANWR. Think oil and gas leases on federal lands. Think, you know, coal and those energies, those extractive energy businesses and that have employed so many at good wages. And yet you're wondering, what's the disconnect here? It is almost like an on-off switch, Bill.
It really is. Well, you see, what the union members are realizing is what happened to America, to everyday Americans, and that is that we don't matter in their calculus. What matters to the Democratic Party is power and control. They were beholden to the infrastructure of the political process. These big unions and big government types, they owed them. And I contend that what happened is when Hillary Clinton lost to Donald Trump in 2016, there were a lot of a lot of payments to be made, a lot of promises that were made when Hillary would become president, because it would follow suit with Obama, right? And there was big payouts. This is why we took on so much more debt, is the Democrats found this incredible way. I think it's a great scam if you can get away with it, and they continue to do so, is they find a way, you know, not letting any good crisis go to waste, to open up the Treasury. And once they open up the Treasury, it's not about the problem, it's about payback. Most of that money, if you follow that money, most of that money went back to pay political favors, to pay these political operatives that got them into office, that will keep them in office, or at least keep them in the proximity of power and control for the years to come, because they basically are buying up votes with our money.
Yeah, that's right. It's really a vicious cycle, and you can boil it down. There's lots of special interests that are trying to feed at that trough, for sure.
Yes.
But when it comes to organized labor, and you think about the context of the differences between the rank and file and the union officials now, the disconnect
exactly.
is going wider and wider and wider all the time. I mean, and the one thing that the common denominator, Bill, is their federal power to compel you to pay dues or fees in order to get or keep a job in 23 states that don't have right to work laws. And they want to solve that problem, Bill, to your point. They want to repeal the federal authorization that allows states to pass right to work laws, and repeal all 27 right to work laws in place, and force every private sector worker to pay union dues or fees. And that is a payoff beyond imagination when you think about
right.
the money that's involved in that.
Well, see, Mark, the thing that galls me is I think about human ingenuity. I think about the uniqueness of each individual, each downline union member, and what they represent in terms of human potential, ideas, creativity. All that is mediocritized through this union process, because it is not about the elevation of a more effective labor force. It's all about the continuation of the union as an institution. Sadly, this is my observation that I see happening time and time again, because you see when individuals want to strike out and express their giftings, their natural giftings and talents, and if they make the downline union members look bad, well, they're called into the office and say, hey, whoa, whoa, dial it back, buddy. You're making us look bad. We have a drumbeat that you must go to. It's the drumbeat of mediocrity.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with someone up in Connecticut this morning about this very issue you're pointing out. We have a situation where a school district, the New Haven School District, tried to honor and pay bonuses to people that would teach science and math as a signing bonus to bring in teachers for those hard to gather areas and hard to fill areas, and then increase some pay for after hours work and other things like that. Well, guess what happened? The union filed an unfair labor practice charge with the Connecticut Labor Relations Board, and basically the school board had to back down because the union said you cannot pay anyone more to teach here unless you negotiate with us, because the contract says you get paid this wage for this many years of service, you get paid this wage for this many years of service, and Bill, to your point, it wipes out the creativity, it wipes out the energy, it wipes out the innovation, and boy, oh boy, have we seen that in the government school system, not only over the last 2 years, but specifically over the last 2 years, when we've seen a special interest teachers union basically exposed for the radical nature of what they're trying to teach, what they're trying to do in the government school system, and the damage it's doing to our children. This is union monopoly power designed, to your point, exactly, create mediocrity. Basically punish the best, protect the worst, and just proceed as normal, right?
Right, exactly. Mark, the other thing that we've been bringing out on this show that nobody is talking about, and that is, this same type of demonstration of mediocrity that has not only the facts are there and are prevailing as to what happened for the last 2.5 years under COVID in the classroom, right? Our kids have been dumbed down. They're off track. It is a travesty. But the other thing that's happening is the same thing with the labor force. The labor force has been drawn back, just as the kids in school. You know as well as I do with your experience, Mark, you go to work every day and you got that blade sharp. You are thinking about business. You've got ideas. You're a force in motion. Now, all of a sudden, I take you out of that environment. I put you on the couch playing video games and doing other things that have nothing to do with your job because the government's paying you to sit on the couch, basically. Now it's time for you to come back. Now it's time for you to come back to work. How good are you going to be after laying off for 2 years doing near nothing?
Yeah, probably not very good, and that's what we're seeing right now. I hear the music in the background, Bill. I don't know if you're coming up on a hard break, but...
Yeah, we are. Yeah. You see, I can't get anything by you. You're too smart, Mark.
All right,
just as he said, we're going to break. We've got more from Mark Mick. Stay with us.
Do you love driving, but you hate your expensive car payment? Open Road Lending can reduce your current car payment by as much as $100 a month or more. Yes, it's easy to refinance your current car payment and save up to $100 a month. Could you use an extra $100 a month? Then make this call to Open Road Lending today to learn how you can lower your current car payment. It's easy, only takes a few minutes, and there's no cost or obligation to apply and get approved. You can do it all from the comfort of your home. Call today and see how much you can save.
800-511-6223. 800-511-6223. That's 800-511-6223. Call now. 800-511-6223.
Terms and conditions apply. Financing is available with approved credit. See openroadlending.com for details.
If your refrigerator, your washer, your dryer, or any other major appliance in your home breaks right now, do you have an extra $1,000 laying around to fix it or buy a new one? And hey, that's on the low end. Wouldn't you rather spend a dollar a day and make sure all the major appliances in your home are guaranteed to be fixed or replaced? Then call the Home Service Club right now for a free quote and a free month. Trust us, any major appliance in your home is guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You could spend a dollar a day and have the peace of mind and the coverage for all your major appliances. Or you could be prepared to shell out thousands of dollars or more without protection. So call right now and get a free quote and a free month. Call right now.
800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. 800-238-9153. That's 800-238-9153.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vine-to-bar.com.
Right here, right now, Bill Martinez.
You know, that's a great song in the lyric. Don't lose hope. You got to think about, you know, what this country is all about. And as you consider the 330 million citizens of this great country of ours, the cumulative intelligence, John Tammany put it very directly, that we subjected ourselves, we surrendered the cumulative intelligence of 330 million people to the likes of Dr. Fauci and Deborah Birx and, the CDC, which time and again, you know, when you look back, is that, did they get it right? Did they get anything right when it came to COVID? I like this. I've shared it with several of you already, but it bears repeating right now. We're talking about COVID. Mark, you'll appreciate this one. The White House is planning to offer updated booster shots to Americans this fall. It's still the same booster, except these are going to be pumpkin spice.
Well, everything's pumpkin spice right now. Although I guess the bloom is wearing off pumpkin spice at your local Starbucks or coffee
yes.
shop or whatever. Anyway, yeah.
But leave it. You know, leave it to the CDC. I mean, you know, of course that was a joke. I think Jimmy Fallon came up with that. It was a great line. I love it. I just gotta just to lighten things up again, because I think that at a time like this, Mark, I remember in the old days, and this was before I was born, so I had to look back in history. But you had comedians, political comedians. Like Rogers, who would just make fun. He was able to make fun of politics, and of course the Democrats are so thin-skinned. They're trying to control our language. They're trying to control our social media expressions and do everything they can to eradicate our First Amendment right. Of course, I was talking about Will Rogers, rope and all. But we need to have a little bit of levity, because if you take this stuff too seriously. I mean, we need to take it serious enough to where, look at voting day, election day is next week, as Mark said. You got to get out there, make sure you cast your vote, regardless. Okay? And I know people have been, Mark, we've been saying in the show, and everybody's talking, there's going to be this red wave tsunami. And I'm going, let's not have a red wave tsunami. How about if we just have an American wave? That brings us together, that counters the movement, the divisiveness of the Beltway, and say, look at. You are not the boss of us. we are the boss of you, and we're going to be united, and you are going to march to our cadence, not some cadence and theoretical idea that you've come up with that is destroying this country and destroying the middle class.
Yeah, well, be careful, Bill. You're sounding a lot like those folks that kind of crafted the blueprint for this Republican system of government where we loan our power to elected officials and they do work for us. But I know that can get you like a strike or something somewhere out there in the.
Oh, I've been stricken so many times, Mark. I'm kind of like, you know, it's not necessarily that I'm numb to it, I guess. You know, it's like, all right. But, you know, that's our job, is that we need to continue to, you know, speak truth to power. And power right now in America is out of control, and it is hurting Americans. And we're not even talking right now, because the effects are still to come, but we can see it coming over the horizon with the cost of fuel being what it is. How many people on fixed incomes, particularly in the Northeast, that need oil to have heat during the winter season? Are we going to have people dying of cold here in the United States of America? In Europe, you know, it's a seasonal thing. This comes, and it's going to happen again in Europe, because they're as desperate, actually more desperate than we are, regarding energy. And Putin, you know, though he was advised against it, not to utilize food or oil as a weapon, he can't help himself.
Yeah, well, you know, Bill, it's interesting when you make a great point. In the comparison, when you think about the UK and you think about the winter of discontent, the 1978-1979 winter, where basically the unions were on strike across the country, the unions had dramatic power in the UK. And it was, I think, Prime Minister Callaghan at the time who went to some Caribbean island for some summit, and he came back to Britain, and it was like -4 degrees, and people were freezing to death, and the media met him at Heathrow Airport, and his quote was, basically, crisis. What crisis? I mean, there is no crisis. We are very similar there, and that brought on Margaret Thatcher. That brought on this change, this dramatic shift in government power as it related to giving power back to people as opposed to special interests like labor unions. And really, when you were talking about Britain at that time, the binmen were on strike, the lorry drivers were on strike, everybody was on strike, the miners were on strike, and that union power came to a point where people looked at it and said, you know what, you are taking away the initiative, you're taking away the innovation that an economy should have, and the only solution to that is to restore power back to individuals, not to government. But
exactly.
You're right, what's going to happen this winter in the Northeast, people are going to start to freeze. Guess what the solution will be, Bill? You don't have to, I'll give you only 3 seconds to answer what the solution will be for people freezing in the Northeast and not having money to buy fuel. You know what the government's going to do. They're going to step in and provide, you know, some kind of relief program and grow the never let a good crisis go to waste. I think you mentioned that. I mean, that's what government does. And we get a chance every 2 years or in your localist to say stop.
Yes.
And if we don't do that, then we've violated what is the basis of who we are as a country. We have to be informed about what government's doing. We have to keep them on a leash. If we don't, it's our own fault. And Bill, to your point, no matter how you vote, when you get up in the morning and complain about something, look in the mirror and then read the "we the people" part of
exactly.
the blueprint of our country. It's we the people.
That's right. Yeah, we're the ones. And you're exactly right. What's going to happen is the government's going to get so desperate, they're going to sell off more of our assets. People don't even realize how many of our assets have already been subordinated and sold for personal gain. And look what, you know, President Biden has already done in emptying our private oil reserve, which was supposed to be, you know, reserved for emergencies. And he opened up, the spigot for political purposes. So now when we get to that desperate point, I mean, we're already days away from no diesel, Mark. No diesel. I mean, people don't understand that, yeah, I mean, it's one thing, you know, gasoline and going to a gas station. You have no diesel. You've got no food. Things aren't moving across America. We don't need, you know, some electromagnetic attack on our grid. This will do as much damage as an electromagnetic attack. Yeah, if not worse.
You wonder about the policy decisions to be made. You know, this is, well, I kind of respect the president in one instance that he is, what is he? He's buying high and selling low. Is that right? I tend to resemble that when I do my financial planning. He's going to replace it at a higher price than we bought it for. And that's just typical. But you're right. I mean, and I don't mean to make light of this. It's a very serious problem. People don't understand that. The idea.
Well, it affects our national security. Security, Mark. I mean, and the problem is that here it is, the consistent theme here, ladies and gentlemen, and I hate to put it this way, because then, you know, the very thing I'm saying, you know, not to do, don't be like them, be divisive, but you got to hold people responsible. Barack Obama, Democrat, Joe Biden, Democrat, they are the ones that have promoted these policies that have compromised our national security. And that's job one for the Oval Office, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be, but, you know, those enumerated powers that were articulated way back when, again, don't let me get you a strike or anything by talking about the original founding of the country, but, yeah, those were the enumerated powers, and anything else was left to the states and left to the laboratories of the states, and we are so far from that that we, I don't know if we can find our way back, but we can try, and we get a chance to do that, and I think that the American people are getting tired. Moms are mad about what's going on in schools.
Exactly.
They're mad when they pull into the gas station. People in the Northeast are going to be upset when they can't get heating oil. And those are the types of moments that make change. And the solution is not more government power, but more individual freedom. And that's got to be the answer for sure.
We got to go back to first principles, Mark. This is the takeaway from all this. We moved away from first principles, these principles that you referred to that are enumerated in our Constitution quite clearly. And eloquently and forcefully, this is our, in a sense, the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution is our birth certificate. This says everything about who we are and what we're supposed to be about. And we need to have a government that reflects the principles that are clearly stated in the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution. Because when you read the Declaration of Independence today, you're thinking, oh, my God, that document is so relevant today. This is our complaint against the government. It's deja vu all over again, isn't it, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not that I want to get you in trouble and get strikes
No.
But, you know.
Right. But your point is well taken. I mean, people think about the Constitution. We hear Constitution, Constitution, Constitution. Look at the Declaration. That's the statement of principle. That's our mission statement. It's not the operating statement. It's the mission statement. And it does articulate who we are, what we should be, what we can be, and what we're fighting against. And, boy, I mean, reading the Declaration is as important, or perhaps more important, than reading the Constitution these days.
Because
it gives you a sense of why the Constitution came about. So, yeah.
Well, I always recommend, Mark, when we have these, days that we need to pause on. We got Veterans Day coming up, you know, whether it's 4th of July, Memorial Day, I mean, just go right on the holidays, that these are perfect times to take pause. And as you have friends or family around, you're barbecuing, you're at home, you know, before you have meal, I want you to be blessed this year. Pull out the Declaration of Independence. Pull out the U.S. Constitution. Take turns. Go around the room and read it and remind yourself of what this great American experiment, what this dream is all about. And let me know if that doesn't fire up the people in the hearing and in the reading of these two powerful documents. That's our encouragement and blessing for you as we're just around the corner, you know, a big important day, voting day next Tuesday. And of course, a week from tomorrow, we'll pause to remember the sacrifices of over a million people. Mark, imagine over a million military veterans that surrendered their lives in the name of liberty. It's amazing.
Yeah, important stuff. And I think I hear Buffalo Springfield in the background as the bumper there saying something happening here.
What it is
isn't exactly clear, but we get a chance to clarify it a little bit, as you mentioned, not only by remembering, but also being active as it relates to electricity.
Exactly. So Mark Mix, thank you, buddy.
And want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity? This will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population